Today is July 17, 2015, Wednesday, in Sasana era 2557. The Dhamma talk Siaro would like to give to the yogis here at TMC will be related to the Dhamma talk he gave last time. It is related to the three kinds of concentration. Last time, Siaro expounded Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, or moment by moment concentration. And so, momentary concentration means the concentration that we developed moment by moment by observing continuously. So there are three kinds of concentration: momentary concentration, neighborhood concentration, and apana concentration. So Sierra, we continue this topic today. So when we develop the mundane concentration, jhanic concentration, so the mind must be fully focused on the meditative object. And then when we develop the vipassana insight, this moment-to-moment concentration is necessary. And without this kind of concentration, we cannot develop any stage of vipassana knowledge. So practically, when we observe the meditative object, our mind is focused on the object. And we make effort to focus our mind on the object. And then we become aware of the nature of the object. At that moment, the mind is necessarily to be focused on the object. Then only can we properly discern the true nature of the phenomena. So the moment the mind is fully focused and tranquil, and that mental state is called samadhi. So when we develop vipassana insight, this kind of samadhi is necessary. But initially, this concentration cannot be strong enough to develop higher vipassana insight. But when we are able to note one object after another continuously without leaving much gap in between, then this concentration becomes obvious and strong enough to help us discern true phenomena of mind and body. And in this case, the discernment is regarded as vipassana insight, but the concentration is built up moment by moment. It's called the Kanika Samadhi, a momentary concentration. When this momentary concentration is stronger, it can be compared to jhanic concentration in terms of the quality, in terms of the degree. Patipakkhena anapi buddho. The degree is equally similar, equally important, because this momentary concentration strong enough to prevent the mind from opposite phenomena, opposite mental state called mental hindrances, nivarana. So when our mind is kept away from opposite mental state or mental hindrances, the mind is fully tranquil, comfortable to jhanic concentration in quality. So in this regard, we need to learn what the mental hindrances means. And then Mental hindrances, nivarana, literally means the unwholesome mental state that interferes with our concentration. There are five kinds of nivarana and hindrances, opposite phenomena. We need to learn them so that we can understand our practice is purifying of hindrances or not. If we find the practice is not purifying of mental hindrances, we need to make more effort to keep our mind away from those hindrances. So knowing the mental hindrances and then they are arising is also important. So in the Dhamma Nupassana section, the awareness of Dhamma objects, this awareness of Nivarana mental hindrances are expounded in detail. So here the Nivarana mental hindrances is of high kind. The first one is Kamachanda Nivarana, this sensuous desire or sense desire. So this kind of desire or craving take place when we interact, when we react to the objects. So when our mind is overwhelmed or overcome by this kind of sensuous desire, no way for us to develop mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom or vipassana insight. In this way, sensuous desire prevent us from developing vipassana insight. That's why sensuous desire is called as a nivarana hindrance. It hinders us from developing vipassana insight. So where they come from? Where this sensuous desire come from? Or when we react to the sense object, they come into our mind. Like when we see or hear, smell, taste, or touch, or we think about something. And then we feel the delightful. And then regarding the sense restraint, Indriya Samvara Sila, Searo expounded to some extent about this sense object. So when we see, unless we are mindful, and there are possibility to arouse for the sensuous desire to arise. During the intensive retreats, we are required to keep our senses or to keep restraint on the senses. So we may not find any objects that arouse sensuous desire. But in daily life, we already encounter many sensuous objects. So many objects in life are deeply impressed on our memory, so they will come into existence. And the sights or sound or smell, taste or touch we have ever experienced before, they will come into existence. And then we will feel sensuous desire. We will take delight in them. They are mostly related to our beloved, like our relatives or spouse or children. So the moment we take delight in the having those beloved around is called Kamachanda. Kamachanda take place. Even the pet sometimes bring about sensuous desire to us when we think of our pet at home, like dog or cat, and so on. And regarding non-living things, like car or our home, house, and they also often come into our mind, and we happen to take delight on them as I or mine. And then they arises since we are desire. So as a yogi, we need to be aware of that mental state, and we have to note it and to overcome it. And then there come Vyavara Nivarana, the mental hindrance or the aversion or hatred or unsatisfactoriness. So when we have this kind of mental state, we cannot develop vipassana insight. So they prevent us from development of vipassana insight. So this aversion or hatred or disappointment come from the seeing, hearing, and so on. So sometimes we recollect the object we encountered in the past, and they often related to our beloved relatives or people, and our belonging and possession, and all it may be related to the our loss or the our beloved and belonging. And also we feel the upset, we feel averse to people who treat us bad or who look down upon us or who think as a lowly. So we feel upset and there we feel averse against such people. So these kind of mental states like aversion or hatred and upset and unsatisfactoriness come under this vyavara hindrance, the aversion hindrance. So when they arise in us, we should be aware of them, and we should make note of them and get rid of them. And then that kind of nivarana is called Tina Maita, Sloth and Toba. So mostly yogis encounter this kind of mental state when they could not make faster progress or the progress as fast as they expected. And then they get bored and lazy. They may not even persist to sit for the whole hour. And then the mind is sleepy and inactive. In such cases, it is very important to boost up our energy to make more effort with a strong resolution. And in some cases, we develop concentration by observing object continuously. So when we develop concentration, the mind is calm, and we feel relaxed, and the effort weaker and weaker. And the object become vague, and then we feel sleepy without knowing. But as soon as we notice it, we should boost up our energy and note it as it is. Otherwise, we may become lazy and sleepy. And then we will be overwhelmed or overcome by the Tina Maita, Sloth and Toba hindrance. So we have to boost up our energy, make some more effort, trying to make our mind active. So what we can do in this case is, first of all, we have to note and boost our energy, and then we can note more objects. Normally, tinamada or laziness or sloth and torpor come into existence or during the sitting hour. So if we are noting rising, falling, it may be later, after some time, can become boring to us. Then so we need to increase the objects in number. That means we should note more objects. We know rising, falling, so that we know rising. And when the rising ends, we should note the touching. There's four places of touching are obvious. The 2 foot touch with the floor, and two buttock touch with the floor. So we should note these touching points in rotation, and then we should note the falling and one of the touching points in rotation. So in this way, we should make more effort. We should, by increasing the number of the object, meditative object, and then the mind will become active, and the mind will become, active enough to observe the continuously. So the fourth hindrance is Odaja Gogoja. Here, Odaja means the wandering mind, unstable mind. When our mind cannot be focused on the object, the mind is scattered and wandering around. So that's the wandering mind is called Odaja. Scattering mind or wandering mind. And then Gogoja. Gogoja means the mental state that take place when we regret what we have ever done, what we failed to do in the past. So that is Gogoja, kind of the. Sometimes we feel regret when we think about what we fail to do, something wholesome we should do, but we fail to do. Thinking of that condition, we feel regret. And then sometimes we should avoid unwholesome thing. We happen to commit unwholesome deed, and then thinking about this condition also, we feel regret. Unless we can focus our mind on the object, the mind is wandering around, and then we happen to think about these kind of unwholesome state, unwholesome condition, and we feel regret. That's how the Odaja Gogoja take place. There's a wandering mind and regret. So if we notice it, if we notice this kind of mental state, we should make a note of them right away. And then only we can overcome it. What important is we have to establish our mindfulness on the object. That is what Satipatthana means, well establishment or mindfulness. If mindfulness is well established, there will be no room for Odaja and Gogoja, wandering mind and restlessness of mind. So mostly Odaja and Gogoja, wandering mind and regret, come into existence during the sitting hour, when we are sitting, noting, rising, falling, or the abdomen. Our minds wanders away, thinking about the external object. And then, in some cases, it is just a vague thoughts, not very obvious, then we should not necessarily to note that kind of mental state. We just trying to focus rising, falling, or the abdomen. But in some cases, rising, falling is not clear. Any other objects are also vague. mind is going wandering around, and then we should focus on the wandering mind itself and note it, wandering, until that wandering mental state stop. When the mind is calm and stable, we should right away back to the primary object, right, so falling and so on. So whether we are sitting or walking or doing general activities, we have to be mindful so that we can prevent our mind from wandering or restlessness. So mostly we are recommended to focus on a physical object rather than mental objects. Why? Because the physical objects are very obvious, always obvious, more prominent than the mental phenomena. By observing physical object, mental phenomena will become spontaneously obvious. Then both mind and body become obvious. So that's why we normally are recommended to note the physical object as a primary object rather than mental objects. So the last kind of hindrance is vichikicca, the skeptical doubt. This vichikicca is related to the mostly to our practice. But basically, we have doubt about the qualities or the triple gems or the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Especially, we may have doubt about our practice when we cannot make progress in the practice. For some reason, maybe because we don't make effort, or we don't practice properly, or we don't practice carefully, and then we cannot make progress in the practice. Then we feel doubtful. Or this practice is, whether this practice really help to purify the mind or the mental defilements, or whether this kind of practice can develop the progressive vipassana insight up to megaphala enlightenment. So we feel doubt about our dhamma and its benefits. So not to have this kind of doubt, we have to make great effort developing continuous mindfulness and concentration. When we discern the mental and the physical phenomena as they really are, and they are conditionality and changes, and we start to develop the vipassana insight, then we will feel the gratifying with our practice, and there will be no room for such skeptical doubt. So when we have such doubt, we should observe it and try to overcome it. So we have to observe the one object after another continuously so that we can keep our mind away from these mental hindrances. So it is very important for us to focus our mind on a meditative object all the time. When our mind is free from mental hindrances, then the mental and the physical phenomena will become clear to us. As a result, we will feel gratified with our experience, with our Dhamma experience. So it is very important to focus our mind on the meditative object one after another. That's how we develop the mindfulness, and then followed by the gratification, pamaujja. And then we can even feel more satisfied when we can develop continuous mindfulness. And then we even feel the blissful. Initially, we encounter a lot of difficulty and painful sensation, but with the development of mindfulness and concentration, we feel very comfortable and no more difficulties and satisfied, and we experience the rapture or PT. So then subsequently, our body also becomes comfortable and blissful. So that's called Kaya Passati and Chaita Passati. The mind and body become blissful. So as a result, the mind becomes stable and well focused on the object. That's how we develop concentration. Sukhino Chaitan Samadhi Yati. Sukhino, the blissful one, can develop concentration better. So when the mind is tranquil, peaceful, gratified, the mind easily focuses on the object. And then that's what we call concentration. Through the concentration, with the help of concentration, we can clearly see mind and body as they really are. So when this, the momentary concentration can be compared to a apana concentration, the jhanic concentration. So it is says aramani nirantaram and so on. When we are able to observe one object after another continuously, then the concentration, this momentary concentration, becomes strong. So there will be no gap between the preceding concentration and the succeeding concentration. We note one object after another continuously. Then this momentary concentration becomes strong. For example, when we are sitting, mainly we are noting rising, falling. But there are many different phenomena become obvious. Variety of the objects come to us, like the touching or several kinds of the sensation and wandering mind and so on. So whatever object obvious, we observe one object after another continuously. Then the mind becomes stable and tranquil. Although the objects are changing moment by moment, the concentration focuses one object after another continuously. Then this kind of momentary concentration, moment by moment concentration, can be compared to jhanic concentration. In what sense? It can be compared to the jhanic concentration in terms of degree. So they are comparable in degree. Chaitan, Nechalan, Tapeti. The momentary concentration can keep our mind stable, unshakable, by focusing on one object after another continuously. This quality, in terms of this quality, this momentary concentration is compatible to jhanic concentration. When we can develop this kind of powerful concentration, we can see mind and body as they really are. We can develop vipassana insight. So what all we have to do is to note one object after another continuously. If we are able to note in this way, we can develop concentration compatible to jhana concentration and degree. So we vipassana yogi here should be gratified with our practice. There are some yogi, they are not very satisfying with their practice because they think they cannot develop concentration. But actually, if they are able to note one object after another continuously, that means they are developing the strong concentration and moment by moment concentration. So what important is our mind must be focused one object after another continuously. Then we can discern mind and body, mental and physical phenomena as they really are. And then their conditionality changes. So what important is to develop continuous mindfulness by observing one object after another continuously. So in conclusion, share wish, may all of you be able to develop continuous mindfulness and then develop the progressive vipassana insight until mega phala enlightenment. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.